Blog Talk Radio. Are you currently hurting from the loss of a deep love? The good news is that healing is on the way and you can heal. Stay tuned. Welcome to my radio show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love mentor, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and the life-transforming Love Lessons for Your Soul. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who just keep proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. And my guest today, I'm really delighted to share a little bit about her. Kate Houston usually works with women who are successful in business, yet anxious in love. Women who lead with confidence in their careers, but struggle in their love life. And there are so many women like in that situation. Women who are tired of feeling frustrated and fed up with dating down, they want to feel vibrant, fun, and free in love with an amazing man. They just don't know how to get there. That's where Kate comes in. With her sense of joy and ease, Kate helps women reignite the fun in dating while showing them the tools, techniques, and strategies to heal their broken hearts so that they can finally attract amazing, trusting, caring men while feeling authentic, open, and confident. So you can join the upcoming summit that I'm thrilled to be part of, How to Heal a Broken Heart. The link is on this page. So I'm delighted to welcome you, Kate Houston.
Welcome. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining and for listening. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Yeah, great. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, your education, training, and natural gifts that led you to work with women and to help them heal from a broken heart or whatever else is going on?
Oh, I got to tell you, first and foremost, I had my own tumultuous relationships, so I've had some very intimate personal experiences with two very complicated and roller coaster relationships. And what I discovered from that was that I didn't want to repeat it, and I didn't know at first how. But before I became a dating and love coach, I, as a first profession career, was a librarian. I think I'm still a librarian at heart. But
so you do research.
So I did research.
And you love books.
Oh, I was about the research of this. I went into the studies. I went digging into Medline, looking at medical studies and the psychology. I even read the memoirs and the anecdotal stories, because those matter too, because one of the things I know is we are, as human beings, are meaning-making machines, and we create story to make sense of our world. And what I knew is, because I'm a fan of storytelling in general, which a lot of times helps us understand how we belong, how we matter, and that we're connected with this world. Stories are, we're relational beings. So, you know, we've been telling stories since around the fires of, you know, centuries ago. But for me, the other thing about that is sometimes we create stories to make sense of something, but it's not the true story. And it may have made sense at the beginning of an experience or at the end of something or in a crisis or when we were younger and when we didn't know anything differently, to create a story that is sort of a way of protecting ourselves. But then we never revisit that to say, is it time to upgrade this? Is this different now that I'm an adult? Is there something else I should be looking at, another way of seeing it? And what I like to say is, as a, you know, for good books and writing, as a librarian in me, is some of the best stories are not just the first person story, but when you get to see and hear from other perspectives in the story you're reading, it adds the complexity to life. You have the main story, and then you have the unconscious story going on. And that's how we are as human beings. So when we're able to get the fuller, richer story, we are able to be more compassionate, more empathetic, more forgiving, and more loving, first to ourselves and then to others in the experiences we had. And we get to surrender, let go, and release and forgive so that we don't have pain from the past affecting our present and future. And that's really the work that I support so many clients in and so many people in, because I was there. I did the same thing. And when I got to see things from a different perspective and even now catch myself in the moment of maybe story making, when I'm upset, when I'm activated, or some people call it triggered, immediately it's because of some story I believe. It might be a limiting belief about myself, or I'm not worthiness, or it triggers something about my abandonment or unlovable, whatever might be the thing. Everybody has a different, you know, thing that it touches on. There's a belief, a core belief still in there that is activated. But it's from that where I get to be really present in the moment with my clients. We get to the point where when we're in a moment and we're feeling that, we can say the story I'm making up about this is that you don't love me, that I'm not lovable. And it's about being responsible about what I'm feeling, not pushing blame out or projecting on anybody else, but allowing somebody in intimately and vulnerably into your world, even in the moment of messiness and not understanding. And that is what true intimacy is. You're allowing somebody to bear witness to your soul, no matter what level
Wow.
of together it is, right? So when you can do that, that is true intimacy. And what men really want to do is to be your hero and your support. And that means allowing them to be there for you.
Yeah, there's so much that you said. But one thing that stands out for me right at this moment is you're starting with the issue of story, because I've been taking a coaching program, and a lot of people recently have said that, you know, stop telling your story, like they stop you from doing that. And for me personally, a lot of times it helps me to say what the story is and to start with that and then to say what I'm believing or how I'm believing. But the story is part of how I make sense of it. So to just push it away and not tell the story is hard.
Right. And the goal is to not let the story shackle you from living the life you desire and deserve. And that can happen over time. At a time, it maybe the story protected us when it should have, but we've not updated and revised the story to really reflect who we are in our wise adult selves, with a myriad of more experiences and evidence of glory and joy and fun and love, versus seeking evidence to prove the thing that is trying to protect us that isn't serving us any longer.
Or that was true at a younger time, at another time, some kind of rejection. That's not true now. Things do change.
Right, and there's stories where there's a desire to make it true still. And, you know, and one event happens one time in our past. When we really own the truth that we are empowered enough to choose to either let it continue to play a role in our life or not, when we're empowered to see that maybe something happened when we were, you know, 14, and then for 30 years allowed the story to affect us, we get to be responsible for those 30 years of allowing the event to keep replaying and, you know, hurting ourselves ultimately in our hearts. When we're empowered to realize we have a choice about that, and there's lots of methods, you have that, I have that too, about how to work through that and shift and brighten and make the story more vibrant than the original story, then we're able to see it with compassion, empathy, and forgiveness.
Yes, and you're what you're emphasizing really is to reach out for help, because there's so much help. There's so many people who have been there and found different ways to heal and can help you. And so much of it is not expensive or free. You know, you can't always do it alone.
Anybody's like me, because it's, you know, oftentimes we draw to us the kinds of clients that have challenges and struggles we've had. Is that I was very, I'm very much super mom, super human, got it all together. That's what I wanted to show. And I was a lone wolf and I didn't ask for support. I think because I feared that I wouldn't get it. And so I got
totally
to lean into that fear and break that, you know, and go, okay, and I don't always get exactly the help I need when I need it for it. But I mean, when we lean into that more often and don't just, not the high stakes moments only, then we have evidence to prove that we're supported, whether or not somebody can show up the minute we need it for a next thing. If it's the only time you ask, you put all the pressure on that one response. When we keep asking every day for support, whether it's picking a can from the top shelf, I mean, it can be all the little things too. Then when we get to something big, you'll get support in certain ways, maybe not the exact way you thought, but you're not putting all the pressure on your story about they either help me and they love me, or they don't and I am unworthy. You know, we get to get underneath that and see that we get to set ourselves up for success with lots of mini successes in our lives.
That's another beautiful point you're bringing up, because success doesn't happen 1, 2, 3. Like anyone, a leading athlete, they change coaches. They work with one coach for a while. Maybe they needed that person at a certain point, and then they're ready for something new and a new coach comes along, or they choose. It's the same with anything, any kind of help.
Absolutely.
So I want to start to ask a few questions. So one of the questions I have is, this is so common that women seem to choose wounded men, or maybe there's a lot of wounded men around, a wounded bird, you sometimes call them, instead of attracting someone that you could describe as a healed warrior. So how do women navigate this and find a man who has done some of his own healing and is ready for a relationship with her?
So, such a good question. What I do know is there's a couple parts to this. First and foremost, you know, we attract what we are on some level. So if we're not liking what we're seeing as a result in our lives, if we're seeing men that are unavailable, if we're seeing men that are inconsistent in messaging, we get to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, where am I being inconsistent with me? Where am I not being in integrity with me? Where am I unavailable emotionally? Am I putting up my walls so fast that I'm not giving him a chance? Am I making conclusions from the get-go versus looking for beautiful things that I like? Because it can be a protection, you know. Am I making a shopping list and demands on my profile, or am I open-hearted in what I'm looking for with possibility and hope? So we really get to look under that. That's the first piece. Secondly, we get to listen. This is a really beautiful thing. We get to listen to what men tell us, because the truth is, on a first date or a first Zoom or a first phone call, you can learn a lot about a man and whether or not he is stuck in pain on something, or if he's worked through pain and is on the other side. Because we've all come through life, if we're at this age, right, the wise age, as I like to say, we're going to have a lot of bumps, and some of them might be biggies. And instead of judging somebody for having made mistakes, we want to be open-minded and heartfelt about how did they course correct? How did they build resilience? How did they own their accountability in something? Or are they still stuck in the pain story? Because we do not want to connect with somebody with mutual pain stories. That is going to be a disaster of a relationship. We want to meet each other at our joy spaces, our creative spaces, our happiness, our wonder, our awe, our playfulness, because that's where you want to resonate with somebody. So when you're speaking with a man and you get to ask really curious questions that are open-ended and really be in the conversation to be open to learning about a new person without a filter of judgment or some I'm listening for certain negative things. But what you're wanting to hear is, you know, are they sharing something that was hard at life? Maybe they did have a hard home life with parents. Well, you know, asking questions like, so how did you handle that? How are you now with your family? Did you ever make peace with that? That must have been really hard. Have empathy for them. I can only imagine what that's like. And they will share with you, and then whatever that they needed to do. You'll hear if they have boundaries. You'll hear a whole lot. Men are really vulnerable and will tell you the truth of who they are. We women have historically not the best listeners. We filter.
Right. But I see so many women who hear all of this. They hear about the ex-girlfriend or the ex-wife or whatever that was really a problem, and he's all upset. And then they think, I'm going to be the one to solve the problem.
Fixer.
I'm going to be, the superwoman who can help him heal. And maybe talk about that.
Absolutely. I think the first question, and I'm going to give some tough love coaching here, is if anybody's been that, and I say this from my heart because I've been there myself and did this, and I had to look in the mirror and ask myself this question and be really honest with me, was, what about me believes I'm only of value if I'm only fixing?
That's
what about
a great
me?
Question.
Why am I limiting myself to the amazement? What about me and my beingness do I not trust as being of value and worthy enough to be loved and adored simply for existing in my being essence of who I am? Now, if you're anything like me, maybe you grew up in a family where I created the story. This is where I got to be really responsible that I should be the good little girl. I don't want to make waves. My family, my brother, they had some challenges. So I created the story of I don't want to rock the boat. Nobody told me. My parents didn't require anything of me. But as a little kid, I was like, I want calm. I tried to create order out of chaos for me, and my little girl brain, of course, didn't do the greatest of jobs. And then I carried that same lesson for decades. And it's a tool that was really, not useful at all. Right out the gate of, going off to college, it was already outdated. So me getting in there and saying, okay, who am I if I'm not fixing? Who am I if I'm not doing? And that's where I found my value before. Do I value me for just being me? Ah.
And that's another one, not just fixing, but doing, always doing something.
I was a doer.
Career
bean counter.
Always.
Yes.
Yeah.
Productive. Very, very productive.
Right.
So drop it. And that was me being very heady, very intellectual, very smart. And then the important thing is that I had lost touch with my heart. And so I help support women to bridge the connection. It's not to be not intellectual and smart, of course. But it's to have the heart and the smart together. If you're reconnecting with your soul and being whole in who you are and how you are and allowing somebody, there's magic. Women have magic. This is another thing that I like to share too, is that for me, because this is my lesson too, is men don't fall in love with you because of how you treat them. I mean, that's what we think. The more we do for somebody, the more they'll love us. And usually what happens in those situations is they fall out of love with us because we've lost ourselves. We've given up our hobbies, our friends. We've made our lives all about the man. And then we're wondering, why doesn't he love us anymore? It starts with us.
That's so true.
It starts with us. Men fall in love with women by how they treat themselves, by how you feel confident in your best dress or sneakers, whatever makes you feel yummy, your best, fabletic, athletic wear these days, whatever makes you feel sassy and saucy, that is what turns a man on, is that energy. And there is song after song after song, and I love music, so I love using this, and music has truth in its beauty to teach us things.
Yes.
There are songs like Something in the Way She Moves by the Beatles, She's Got a Way About Her by Billy Joel. It's about magic and a mystery essence. And it's because of the way she is and treats herself and shows up in that confidence and that feminine essence That's what they want to touch and be near.
And that's why that reminds me of one of these books that stood out for me, Why Men Fall in Love with Bitches. Because
because they have a standard for themselves. Yeah,
they may be obnoxious.
At least they're clear.
Eventually they may have problems. But he loves her because she's making him live up to some standard, and she's caring about herself.
Right. And I mean, I say standards, it can be boundaries too, but when you have certain standards for yourself and you show up consistently for you, that builds, I mean, just like with men, we like to see men show up consistently. Consistently how they show up helps you know if you can trust them. And sometimes men show up consistently in ways we do not like, and that's a message to say, thank you, not for me. Consistency builds trust, which is why you need to date. Right? You need to date and not rush into a relationship after 4 dates.
Yeah, so that leads to the next question right along that about habits and consistency. Why do single women often repeat the same patterns in dating, you know, that are getting them nowhere? They keep being attracted to so-called wrong type of man who is the type that attracts them, but they get into a pattern like that.
Well, I believe part of this is connected to your work as well, where you work with attachment. And this is just it's a theory of ultimately all you need to know is that we learned our love patterns and what love meant to us, the love imprint of the definition of love when we were kids. Whether or not it was a tumultuous or it was a very connected relationship, or it could just be life happening. Our parents worked a lot because they had to put food on the table. It didn't have to be intentionally harmful, right? It could be just lifing and our resilience had to be there. We create these supports for ourselves about whether or not to trust someone, to lean in, or if we want to be more, when we're anxious, right? That's like, so we get to look at that. And like, if we're not actually looking at that and getting back to some original moments, or maybe you could just think of, there was a time I remember this. One thing a parent did, and then it imprinted on you as if it was the biggest event ever. And one of the beautiful things that I do, and I know you probably do with your clients, is we go back as that omniscient third party to say, let's look at the other perspective here. Was this really as big a deal? Like one person had a concern that a parent, you know, when they were separated, didn't show up on time for Christmas, and the story making went, it was like a high stakes moment, emotional moment for her. But when we really pulled back, it was like, did he not show up at all? Or, he actually, and it was just what her story making was making and how she was driving it forward in her life. And when we were able to actually pull in the big perspective and look at what was going on with him and have compassion for him as a human being versus the idealized parents, which we all did as kids, but now we get to look at our parents as human beings and like where they must have grown up and what happened to them when they were kids and what were your grandparents like? You can start to have this bigger picture and understanding to go, wow, I just didn't know until I knew that I was making that a bigger deal. And I've let that one event, even though 99% of the other time he was there for me, I let that be the judgment on myself, on my relationships with people. And then we get to unhook from that with different methods and tools and then practice leaning into vulnerability. Walking through the fear, because the ultimate goal is this. The seconds that you will feel fear will be relieved the moment you get to the other side of speaking your truth, and you'll feel freedom because you're being your authentic self. But we get stop-blocked at that roadblock thinking that fear feeling will last forever. The truth is that fear feeling lasts much longer when we stuff ourselves and don't speak up and when we hold back from being authentic. So ends up being a dichotomy if we get the thing we actually don't want, which is a lot more fear, than leaning in,
well, a lot of people,
taking that vulnerable risk.
A lot of times people have spoken up when it was important and maybe to the wrong person and they got jumped on or hurt, so it feels unsafe.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is, you know, what I believe too is we, and I know you give this to your clients as well, is that it's about grounding you. Because if somebody says something that causes an activation, something in me or you, because this is true for me, believes that is true about me. And when I get to let go of the old wound stories, that's what I call them, And everybody has them, and we don't beat ourselves up over it. It's okay. We're humans. We just did this. But allowing it to keep playing out and giving us what we don't want is not serving. And that's where people get to step in and get support and get, you know, therapy or a coach or other counsel to support them in bridging this. Is we get to get past that so that we can have the amazing life we want.
Well, that leads to the next question. Perfect timing.
Yeah.
So now on topic, how can a woman heal her broken heart?
Oh, good question. With courageous conversations, first with herself.
I love
that.
Which
is probably the hardest conversations we will ever have, even more than anyone else in the world, because we get to go to those dark crevices, to the shadow self where we maybe ignore it. If you're like me, I ignored that shadow side, judged it, you know, shunned it, criticized it, versus allowing me to see me as a human being who's messy sometimes and being compassionate, empathetic, forgiving to me for not knowing what I didn't know, and being committed to figuring out the things and making standing in my vision for my life, whether it's the new career, a better group of friends, whether it's the romantic relationship of your life. And the thing here is, if you can master courageous conversations first with yourself and then lean into the intimate and vulnerable conversations with a romantic partner, that's like our highest stakes relationship. Then every other relationship you have, every other kind of conversation you need to have, whether sticky or not, becomes easy because you've already mastered the one we put the most energy and emphasis and importance on. So it's a whole life transformation, not just a romance transformation. You learn to speak your truth to your boss. You learn to speak honestly and openly with big open-heartedness to your mom or dad, and maybe you've not ever done that before. I had to do that too.
I went to my parents
and they said, I made up the story of I'm a good little girl and it's all about me, and I did that. And they hugged me and said, you don't have to be a good little girl. And that healed me.
Yeah. Not everyone gets to tell their parents that. Sometimes it's too late. But what I wanted to say is that you can do this courageous conversation in all kinds of situations. Like purchase something and you don't get what you want, you can fearlessly contact the person and have that conversation without hostility, you know, in a loving way and clear.
Yeah.
It can be in all kinds of circumstances.
Oh my gosh, the best example I have of that is when a woman is out on a date and maybe you get something served to you that was not what you ordered. Some women might just say nothing because they don't want to be a bother, or they think they'll come across as bitchy. And that's all self-criticism and judgment. You actually get to ask with an open and receptive and kind way, say, hey, you know, this actually isn't what I ordered. And everybody there wants to support you and give you what you desire if you are open and connective and honest and speak from a place of genuine authenticity, you know. I mean, you don't want to yell and scream at somebody. That never gets you what you want. But I think there's so many women that will cower away from even that kind of conversation because of what they think that somebody will think of them. And we get to break that, because the only person that matters of what you think of them is you, and maybe your very close circle of friends that you want them to tell you the truth, right? Everybody else, it's just, it doesn't matter. Like one of my favorite things, and I think it's I forget exactly which of the many mentors out there says this, it's like, what you think of me is none of my business. And if you can really get to that place and live your life in freedom, I don't know if that was David Dieta or if it was somebody else, I'm trying to remember, but it was a life-altering statement to me.
Because everybody sees you in a different way. Every person you meet, based on their background and their way of thinking and how they view the world.
And their stories.
So you can't be caught up in that. So you encourage people, and I want to ask why and how this helps. You encourage women and men to approach dating and love with curiosity. And I sometimes tell people to be like a reporter, you know, to be looking
exactly.
At the
you're going to love this. It's totally true. I use the reporting tools. We have the who, what, when, where, how. We never ask why, because why, even when we're in a follow-up, there is a air of judgment about that. So we leave why off the table. You know, there's no need for it.
That's
but if you
crazy.
Say that, you know, like, tell me your favorite story growing up as a kid. You will learn really quickly if they're a middle child, if they were the negotiator in their family, if they were expected to be the overachiever. You'll hear the story. And then you get to say, well, how did you handle that? Or what was behind that? Or what do you think was behind your mom being that way? I mean, and then you just, you're curious, you're learning about them. And when you leave that, I've had woman after woman and men too, like, come back from dates saying, my date said, wow, that was a conversation. That was, like, fun. And I got to tell stories. It didn't feel like a job interview. You know how many job interview dates I've been on?
Well,
be authentic and connective.
People think that asking questions is asking, where did you go to school? Where do you work? How much money do you make? What kind of home or car do you have? And, you know, it's nice to know that. I never used to find that stuff out. I used to always ask the more personal questions. And you can
eliminate. And I think,
eliminate,
you know, what is an open-ended question that invites a good story? And some of it is this just life stories. They're not always stories making, you know, trauma stories. But, I mean, like, just life stories. And open-ended means they have a lot of places to go with it. When you say, what's your job? It's going to be like a yes or no question where it's just answer and then we're like in dead silence. When we're inviting the curiosity about someone, we get to invite them into a rich conversation and not set them up for failure by giving them these, like, you know, cold, hard, quick questions. I mean, of course it's going to feel uncomfortable to both of you.
And the other thing is that I found is when you do those open-ended questions, you may discover things about that other person and realize they don't fit with you, no matter what their career is, no matter how successful. So you can walk away before you jump in and get involved and don't know enough about them.
Or you might find out somebody is very right for you, and I have a great example of that. I had a client who, after learning about not judging people by their covers, she got a message from an insurance agent. Well, she has all kinds of bells and whistles of judgment and stereotyping about what an insurance agent's like. But she did the work with me, and she was leaning in. She asked these curious questions on the date, and what she learned about him was he got the insurance job right out of college because he got married, and the wife got pregnant. And so he wanted a stable job. He wanted to be a provider. He could work from home. He could be the little league dad. He could be the coach for soccer, involved with kids. That's really attractive. And then when the wife was getting, you know, when the kids were getting older and she was interested in looking at, you know, starting up her career after being mostly home, he could take on the responsibility of the kids so she could follow her dream. This sounds like a dream man.
Wow.
But she could have kicked him out the door before even starting seeing insurance on his profile. So be careful how you judge. You may be getting rid of the exact person who could be the amazing partner that you most desire.
That's amazing. And that person may not stay with insurance. There may be a turn of events. I mean, everything. And the person who's in this wonderfully successful job may get fired or may, if it's his business, sometimes businesses go under. If you're basing it on that, it's not necessarily the best thing. The more you
understand, if you limit yourself to he has to make $300,000, you've just cut out the possibility of somebody who's a multimillionaire falling in love with you. I mean, when we're that narrow in our thinking and our dreaming, we get to dream bigger. The universe and God, whatever you believe in, is behind you, so we get to be clear on our desires.
Well, then one more question before we briefly talk about the summit, because the time is getting short.
I know.
So an important thing that you talk about, and I'm just asking you, how does a woman do this, is to develop a loving relationship with yourself. How do you help women to do that?
Well, here's one of the simple tips I can give you to start thinking about and feeling into your day and every situation where you're feeling a little uncomfortable, maybe activated or triggered. You have choices in those moments. Are you making a choice out of fear or out of love? Or when you're looking at the choices, is this a fear choice or a love choice? And if you can move more and more towards the place of choosing out of love, then you're going to expand, you're going to heal, you're going to have opportunity for the shift to happen and get the success of positive experience with love versus feeding evidence that fear is the only thing you get.
Hmm. Wow.
Because love is the answer, as you know.
That's what I always say. The answer is always love. Saida Garrett, who worked with Michael Jackson, sings a song called "The Answer is Always Love," no matter what the question is.
And it's first and foremost love to yourself, right?
And that's the part that we forget about. Like Neil Donald Walsh says in Conversations with God, to ask in every moment, what would love do now? And I thought, you know, what would I do if I was being loving right now? And he adds, what would love do now for you? So important.
Yes.
So we're running out of time, so I really would love you to share about the upcoming summit. What can people expect?
Yes. I am so excited for this online series, How to Heal a Broken Heart. The whole purpose of this is to support you in becoming courageous, bouncing back, and finding extraordinary love, first and foremost, back to yourself, and then in the process of looking for a partner. Everybody might be in a different place, but this whole online series is to support you in navigating and identifying maybe there's something still needing healing. And it doesn't have to be the romantic partner, like we said. It could be something from childhood. I was saying earlier today that I had healing around being bullied as a child and how that affected my story about myself for decades. So you never know what the thing is. And there's 26 experts to allow you to explore, get curious, be honest with yourself in the mirror and just say, what if it's possible there's something still I could heal? Because maybe you're not getting something you want in your life right now. And what I know for sure is true is that the result is what we're committed to. And if we don't like the result, we get to look at the commitment. And maybe our conscious commitment is we want something different. But the unconscious may be driving our lives, keeping us protected, making sure we don't risk hurt or whatever may be the case. So we get to go underneath that. And all of these experts share wonderful wisdom about how to get under and heal you a little bit more to support your growth and shift so that whatever you want to do in life and be in life, your confidence will be greater, your vibrancy will be greater, and your vibration will be different. So you in your whole life will attract different opportunities, partners, friends. Your family will treat you differently because you have shifted. And so all the experts have amazing gifts to support that, whether it's journals or other videos or audiobooks or a variety of things. You have an amazing gift as well that's going to support you in doing that work. And it's all free.
That's the best part. It's free and available with a click of a mouse.
I love it. And we start April 19th. It's absolutely fabulous. And if people catch this after it's begun, don't worry, you'll get an opportunity to catch all the experts.
All right. So just two more things before we leave, which is pretty soon.
Yes.
How can people get in touch with you? And any final words that you can share with our listeners?
Well, you can definitely go to the link that's shared for signing up to the online show, and you'll get a welcome email, and you can just hit reply, and it comes directly to me, and we can have a conversation about anything I talked about today if you're interested. Also at kate@katehoustoncoaching.com is my email. And my parting words are, you know, this is an opportunity right now, like never before on this planet, to take advantage of the last moments of everything being slowed down on the planet as a whole, to do that final healing and that final work. So when you're back out in the world and we start to return to a new sense of normal, our busyness, our connections, our events, our vibrancy, we're coming to it from an elevated place full of love and trust and vulnerability and becoming the most authentic person we can, because truly our life journey is coming home to ourselves.
That's beautiful. Kate, thank you so much for participating in this show today. And I'm really excited
about the
upcoming
event. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Yes, thank you so much.
And I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please stop by my website, drericagoodstone.com, where you can apply for a complimentary Healing Through Love session and browse the site to find out how you can heal your body and your relationships through love. Bye for now.